This is Aspiring Altruists, the show where you'll hear the stories of young professionals in the nonprofit sector working to change the world. We'll dive into their backgrounds, hear about the work they do, and ultimately learn how they got to where they are and how you can do the same. With the nonprofit sector comprising one of the largest U.S. workforces by tackling the world's biggest problems across 9 major categories, you may just hear something that could change your life, and through it, the lives of countless others. Today's guest is a young woman with a wide variety of experiences early in her career, Tyler Brent. Tyler is the President of Operations and co-founder of Movement for Choice, an organization that offers education, events, and donation-based yoga and fitness classes to help fund access to abortion for all, especially those in underrepresented communities. She balances this with her day job of being a yoga and fitness instructor at Bouldering Project. As someone with a passion for physical fitness and keeping people moving, along with reproductive rights, Tyler will share about what it's like to start your own nonprofit, how non-linear her early career path has been, how she manages to keep it all together, and more. Let's hear her story. So, Tyler, can you tell the listeners a bit about the organization that you co-founded and what your current role with the organization involves?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Adam, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm really excited to chat a little bit more with you and, you know, your community more broadly. So Movement for Choice is the organization I founded, and our focus is on hosting donation-based events, fitness classes, yoga classes, and educational events to support reproductive justice. So what that looks like in practice is we host monthly fitness and yoga classes, everything from Pilates to HIIT to we're doing an intro to rock climbing class coming up here. And all of those are donation-based, and there's no minimum donation. We really want them to be open to everyone. And that money goes to support both our programming, and then we also use it to support local abortion funds, as well as other organizations that are doing the work to support reproductive justice and healthcare. I started it with my co-founder, Caroline, almost a year and a half ago at this point. It was right after the Dobbs decision was announced and Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. And I, along with many of my peers, found myself just a little bit lost on what to do and how to help, but wanting to do something. And at the time, I was managing a yoga studio, and a bunch of the people who taught for me or worked for me had a similar sentiment. They came to me and, you know, said, I want to do a donation-based class or an event or something. And along with someone I knew who had become a regular at my classes, we decided to start doing donation-based classes, and we hosted them on the National Mall here in DC all summer. We raised a couple $1,000s for the National Network of Abortion Funds, and we loved doing it so much that we wanted to keep doing it. So we took the fall and winter off, applied for our 501c3, and then kind of relaunched in the spring with our nonprofit status officially set and somewhat of a renewed mission. So it's been a really short but very eventful journey since last summer. And we just kind of continue to grow, and it's been just the most wonderful experience.
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like it's an organization that's meeting the moments in different ways. I'm sure with like the current, as you mentioned, the original overturning of Roe v. Wade, and then now different state legal challenges around it and different barriers being put up in regards to reproductive care. I'm curious to sort of hear how it works in terms of like what it's like founding a or co-founding a 501c3, and then how that works for you all in regards to having a donation-based system and still trying to turn that into donations that you're able to give to the different kind of funds that you were mentioning, the different support services that are out there, while also how does that work with running an organization in terms of the different costs of associated with that in terms of your time or anybody else that you're working with?
Yeah, that is such a good question. I mean, to be candid with you, we're still figuring it out. It was just, you know, in February that we actually got our 501c3. So it hasn't even been a full calendar year of doing this. So it's still somewhat new. But when we first started, we were completely focused on having these donation-based classes and giving all of the money that we raised to abortion funds. So when we first started, we were giving to the National Network for Abortion Funds, and then earlier this calendar year, we were giving to the DC Abortion Fund, and we've established a really nice working relationship with them. And then probably, you know, late, a little bit later in the summer, maybe halfway through the summer, we actually opened our own bank account and started taking donations for ourselves, which, you know, moving forward into the future will help us pay for programming and necessary operating costs, costs, which, you know, up until now have been coming out of me and Caroline's pockets, which is, you know, something that we are so happy and so, so fortunate and privileged to be able to do, but also isn't very sustainable for an organization. So kind of our current status is I think of us as in this like moment of big growth where we're starting to collect donations, we're starting to build some financial sustainability so we can support ourselves moving into the future. And so, you know, Caroline and I aren't, you know, splitting the cost of our website and our Gmail domain and all of that stuff. So it's been, you know, somewhat of a ever-changing journey. But at this point, we, most of our programming is our donation-based events and classes go to us. And then throughout the year, we're starting to schedule some specific fundraisers for DC Abortion Fund or other organizations like that. And, you know, once we actually have some money in the bank, so to speak, well, not so to speak, but literally money in the bank, we'll be able to have these bigger fundraisers where we can dedicate all of our time and energy and resources to raising money for other organizations that are putting, you know, money in the hands of people who need abortions or need reproductive health care. So it's a little bit, you know, at this point, maybe convoluted sounding, but we're starting to, you know, figure it out. And it's really been kind of one step at a time throughout the past year and a half or so.
Yeah. And I know in addition to that, all the work you're doing there to build that organization, you also are and recently switched into the role of the yoga and fitness manager at Bouldering Project, which I see is a company that aims to build the world's best climbing gyms. And you recently shifted from being the community marketing manager there. So can you share about it, what it's like working to build Movement for Choice as well as working for Bouldering Project at the same time? And how do you manage those two?
Yeah, that is also a very good question. So, I mean, really the short answer is I have a lot of to-do lists and my Google Calendar looks really messy. But I will say, I think, you know, working at the climbing gym, and Bouldering Project is somewhat of a newer company, and the gym I work at is really new. We've been open for just, it was 2 years in September. So I've learned so, so much from working there for a little over a year now about what it takes to build a business and build a community and like how to really, you know, live your mission from a business perspective. And all of that learning has helped me create Movement for Choice and kind of build it from the ground up in the nonprofit world. So I am a very, very busy person right now in my life, but it's all things that I truly love and that help each other. It's like, you know, everything that I learn about how to run a, you know, really what I'm doing is like running a yoga and a fitness studio within a climbing gym. And everything I learn about doing that helps me be a more effective leader for Movement for Choice, whether it's like how to make an effective spreadsheet or how to be a better manager and support my team. I think they build on each other really nicely. And, you know, kind of the obvious point here too, is that they're both operating kind of within the world of movement or fitness or, you know, my passion, which is joyful movement. And I've just met the best people and built some really great community in DC about, you know, among people who love to move their bodies and do so in a joyful way, whether it's climbing or yoga or fitness or just, you know, going on a walk with your friends. So I think, you know, it seems it is a lot and some days are busier than others. And sometimes I think maybe I bit off more than I can chew. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, two things that I love and two things that I think really support each other kind of symbiotically.
Yeah. And I know talking about the work that you're doing, I mean, you've gone from beyond what you're doing now and just your journey at Bouldering Project, you've gone from working as a congressional intern to working for different nonprofits yourself, including I saw the Climate Leadership Council. So kind of similar to what I do environmentally, but to doing what you are now. So could you tell the listeners a bit about that journey and what led you making the changes that you have along the way and maybe a bit of how that led to where you are today?
Yeah, so my career path, as you just mentioned, has been in so many ways not linear. But I think I've come to appreciate the fact that life tends to take you down winding roads and twists and turns that you maybe never saw coming. So I studied economics and business in my undergraduate at Colorado College. And, you know, the reason that I was drawn to econ as a discipline was as a tool to look at the world. It was this beautiful melding of qualitative and quantitative reasoning. It was taking math and applying it to concepts I, you know, could logic my way through, and vice versa. It was finding my way towards concepts and answers through math versus logic, or, you know, the other way around. So I really fell in love with it, and kind of through my studies focused in on climate policy and on the economics of climate change, which is just an absolutely fascinating discipline. And I loved every second of my degree at Colorado College doing that. And so I moved to DC thinking that that would be my career and that's what I would do forever. And I was really lucky to get a job at the Climate Leadership Council after I graduated, after an internship with Congressman Neguse in my home district in Colorado. And I moved to DC, which is where I wanted to be. I wanted to do policy. I wanted to do politics. I maybe watched a little bit too much West Wing growing up. So I pictured myself as, you know, the next CJ Craig or maybe Josh Lyman, if I'm being more honest. So I moved here and did that. And then I learned a lot. I was doing Climate Leadership Council work for a couple of years. And in the middle of my time there, the pandemic happened. And so, you know, all of a sudden we were all of our life paths, I think, changed pretty drastically in ways that maybe we never saw coming. And it was just through like spending a lot of time with myself and not having access to a lot of the things I would normally spend my time doing, whether it was taking yoga classes or going outside or like going out with my friends. I had a lot of time for self-reflection, and it just made me want to try something new. I really enjoyed my job. I had learned a lot, but I was ready for the next adventure. And something I'd always loved doing was teaching yoga and teaching fitness. And I wanted to see what it would take to teach full time, just because, you know, I'm a big believer in trying things and seeing if they stick. So I did that for about a month, then realized just how physically and emotionally exhausting teaching full time is. And kind of serendipitously at the same time, the studio I went to most frequently was looking for a studio manager. I thought, hey, that sounds like a good fit. I'm pretty type A. I like to manage, and I love to teach. So that, you know, kind of came to fruition. All the stars aligned, and I did that for a while. And then, you know, right when I thought maybe it was time to try something new and I wasn't really sure what that was going to be, my climbing gym, Bouldering Project, was hiring a community marketing manager, which seemed like a really great fit. I love community. I like marketing. I love events. So I, you know, applied, got the job, and did that for a while. And then, you know, kind of another serendipitous turn. Obviously, during my time at that role, I started Movement for Choice, which became such a big part of my life and truly like the biggest learning opportunity and personal and professional joy. And then more recently, the gym was in need of a yoga and fitness manager. And it just kind of seems like a good opportunity for me to learn some different skills, to kind of take my career in a new direction and just learn something new. I think in a lot of ways, you know, movement is always good. Whether it's, you know, small steps like a new role in the same company or big steps like a total career pivot. But I think, you know, well, looking back on it, none of the steps really seem to make much sense, or maybe they don't connect super well. I think kind of one of the through lines for me in all the things I've done in my career is this like love for people and love for community and desire to build community and form connections wherever I go, whether it's, you know, through working on climate policy and trying to build a better world for our future, or managing a yoga studio, or doing, you know, events and marketing. I think the thing that I always come back to is my love and passion for community and for trying to make the world a better place and using my skills to do so. But I mean, I haven't even really been out of college for that many years, but I could never have imagined as a senior economics major at Colorado College that I would be where I am today, just, you know, 4.5 years or so later.
Nice. Yeah, that definitely sounds like quite the journey. And that's something that I've heard from many that I've had here on the podcast, actually, is that their career paths have not been all that linear. And I think that's an important message to always reinforce with the audience here, is just keep exploring, kind of keep testing things, and that doesn't have to be linear, because a lot of people's stories aren't linear, but you just keep going and figuring things out as you go and with the opportunities that come along.
Yeah, I truly could not agree more.
Well, there's also a question that I ask all of my guests that I have here on the show, which is that if there were one thing either about work or broader life or any other area that you could share with your fellow young adult audience, what would that one thing be?
I love this question. I think it would, kind of tie back to what I was just saying. I think my biggest piece of advice is just to be yourself and don't be afraid to be yourself. At the end of the day, you know who you are best, and the world or the people around you or society may try to tell you differently, or, may try to push you in one direction or another. But I just would really encourage everyone at the end of the day to trust their gut and kind of go with the flow. You can make as many plans as you want, and you can, have as many spreadsheets and to-do lists and Google Calendar notifications as possible. But at the end of the day, sometimes opportunities present themselves that you never saw coming. And if you know yourself well and you're not afraid to be true to yourself, you'll pick the right path every time.
Well, thanks for that advice for the audience here. Well, that's just about all the time I've got for you. But how can people best connect with you if they'd like to hear more about your story?
Absolutely. I would say you can learn more about Movement for Choice at movementforchoice.org, and you can reach out to me through that as well. And that's probably the best way to reach me.
You'd say through the contact information they can find there at Movement for Choice?
Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. Well, as always, I will link there to the website here that you have mentioned, so that people can reach out to you if they'd like to hear more about your story. But yeah, definitely glad to have had you on the show here. So thanks for taking the time for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into today's show. Hopefully you learned something new about the work happening in the nonprofit sector and were inspired to get involved. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening from. If you want to learn more about today's guest, how you can contact them, and explore the organization they work for, check out the show notes. But that'll do it for this episode. Come back next time to hear from yet another aspiring altruist.